Morning. We'll go ahead and get started. I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Glad you could be with us this morning. I'm sure others will be coming in as we make our way down this path. I'll go ahead and tell you, if you want to get your Bibles out or open up your scripture on your iPad or phone, whatever you got with you, I'm going to be starting something a little bit in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk a little bit about faith. And that's what the Lord kind of put on my heart. We're going to be talking about faith a little bit. And what better scripture to go to than Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith is what we call it. And the Bible gives us a lot of different examples of people's lives and examples of faith and things of that nature. But Faith, how important is faith? The Bible says, without it, it's impossible to please God. So without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot be saved. Because you first got to believe He is the way, the truth, and the life. You have to have faith and believe that He was born of a virgin, He died on a cross, and He rose from the grave. You've got to have faith, Brother Terry, in that. That's the very foundation of everything, is faith. You got to have faith, Pearl, to walk with Him, to trust Him every day. Faith that His Word is true, that God is true and every man a liar. To put faith in something that is bigger than you are, is really, or someone that's bigger than you are. That's what faith is. To me, you know, not a technical definition, if you will, of faith, but the way I've always, in my little hillbilly mind, thought of faith was, faith is when hope collides with Jesus. When hope and Jesus have a collision, faith is born. And meaning, hope is one thing, but it's not faith. I hope for things, but that don't mean I have faith in them, Leanne. I hope for world peace, but it don't mean I got faith that there's going to be world peace till Jesus comes back. There's a difference in hope and faith, okay? But without God, there is no faith. So we're going to talk a little bit about faith this morning. I'm going to dive into it. The goal is to take faith as a noun and turn it into a verb, which is action. So in other words, not just say faith, but to walk in it and to live in faith. That's the whole point of it, to try to understand faith a little bit deeper, how important it is. And I'll be honest with you, I would say most of us sitting here today don't even realize, or just haven't put it into thoughts, or if you even just sat and dwelled on it a little bit, everyone's got a measure of faith. Okay, every single person has a measure of faith. And I'll be honest with you, I believe you got more faith than you even realize. If I'm going to be honest, and the reason I say that is a lot of times we don't really, things don't dawn on us unless we sit and think about them a little bit and dwell on them, meditate on them, and things of that nature. So there's no better place, like I said, to start than Hebrews 11. A quick story about faith, though. I read not too long ago, and kind of goes along with what we're talking about here this morning. Faith is something in that the world actually has, but all faith is not necessarily godly. Here's my point being is, a lot of people every single day have faith when they drive to Logan that big bridge down there that's going to cross the Perry Hole is going to hold their vehicle when they go across it. Or they wouldn't drive that way. They'd go over Route 10 by Cliffside. But they got faith in engineers that they do not know, in workers that they never met, in concrete that they wasn't there to see poured, steel that they wasn't there to see welded on, but they got faith in that bridge or they wouldn't drive across it. Make sense? You got faith that the medicine that the doctor tells you to take is going to lower your blood pressure, lower your cholesterol, help you with this or help you with that. Take that medicine, right? Faith comes in many forms, okay? But there's a story that I read a little while back, and it really put a lot of things in perspective to me. And it's a story of it was about a bridge, and it was a young man, wasn't very old. He was literally, comes to a bridge, and every morning this bridge, he was required to start walking across it on his own, Terry. And the thing about this bridge is the way the morning fog would come in, it would cover the bridge in the valley, in the low spot. And as soon as he'd come to the bridge, he couldn't see but a couple feet in front of him. In other words, he couldn't see all the way to the end on the other side of the bridge. And it caused him a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. He just something he couldn't get over in his mind. And then a little old lady came with a basket. And the young man looked at her and said, "Ma'am, are you going to walk across the bridge?" She said, "Absolutely, sir. I do it every day. The bridge has never failed me." And he watched as the lady started down the bridge and she disappeared into the fog. As he watched anxiously, he heard her holler, "It's still here. As he began to make his way across the bridge step by step, his anxiety rose till finally he was on the other side. And he began to realize by putting one foot in front of the other, he made it to where he needed to be going. Faith often is looking out into the fog, not knowing what you see, but still willing to put one foot in front of the other because it's the direction God wants us to go. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit this morning about, the importance of faith, what it does, pleasing God and defying the devil, Pearl. Faith is pleasing to God and defies the devil. How many of you know that if the devil could, he'd take every Christian out? He would. If he could, he'd take every Christian out. There wouldn't nobody be sitting here this morning. The church wouldn't be here. You talk about spiritual warfare, it would be a lot more intense than it was. So there is a power that is greater than he is, and that is the Lord. The Holy Spirit is still operating on this earth. The Holy Spirit can lead us to God. He can increase our faith if we'll dwell in the holy places, in the secret places with God. So as we talk this morning, I'm going to ask somebody if they don't care to read for me a little bit. In Hebrews 11, anybody got their Bibles and don't care to read? Z, you care? Oh, okay, it's fine. Anybody got one ready? You don't care, Pat? Yeah, read verses 1 down through verses 10, please. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Pat. Appreciate you, brother. Pat read the KJV. I love the way the KJV says the first two verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. The ESV says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. So faith is a moral conviction of a religious truth, according to the dictionary. Faith is the same. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, in other words, faith says something's there even though I don't see it. Does that make sense? Faith says something's there even though I don't see it. So, in other words, let me ask you: anybody here this morning with a raise of the hand? Okay, has anyone here with your eyes only saw Jesus? Raise your hand. How do you know he's real? Now I'm asking the question. Anybody, how do you know he's real? You ain't seen him. How do you know Jesus is real? Anybody? Huh? Okay. Through the Word of God and faith of the Word. What else? I can't hear. Okay. Anybody else? In my heart? Scientific discoveries. That's good. That's good. Teresa? I know what He's done for me, so I've seen Him move in my life. Josh? Relationship. Okay. Anybody else? How do you know Jesus is real? You ain't ever saw Him. If an atheist would come up to you and ask you that, what would be your answer? Think about it. Transformation. Good answer, Pat. All of them great answers. So in other words, I may not see Him, but I see the effect He has on my life. I see the effect He has on others' life. Just what Jesus said of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 3. The Holy Spirit is wind. You can't see the wind blow, but you can see what the wind does by the effect on the trees and the leaves and all those things. That's the Holy Spirit. You don't physically see the Holy Spirit, but you can see Him move. As Pat said, I like the transformation one. In other words, because of the relationship with Jesus, there should be a transformation in your life. You shouldn't be acting the way you used to act before you knew Jesus. You quit thinking the way you thought. You quit responding to the way you used to respond. Why? Because someone that's bigger than you is now inside of you. As Teresa said, I've seen the effect on my life. Wani said, my heart. I liked what you said, bro. How you said the scientific discoveries. I agree with that 100%. Braden was here. He'd absolutely jump all over on that answer. But my point being is, I think we have been conditioned because of the assault on Christianity by certain scientists to just throw science all out the door. I'm going to be honest with you. To me, science is not the enemy. Okay? Science is man's discovering how God done it. Does that make sense to you? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying every scientist is good or anything like that, or that they got the right motives. But my point being is this. We now know that DNA is the building blocks of people and generations. And you've got the same generation or DNA as your ancestors. And mitochondrial DNA, which comes from the mother, is the definitive way to know that this person was kin to this person, was kin to this person, and so forth and so on. That being said, we just recently, in the scope of human history, uncovered DNA. But it's always been there. Who created that? God created the building blocks of our society, of our lives, of how we function. Scientific discoveries absolutely point to a higher being, to the Lord, to God, to Jesus Christ. Absolutely. But you can't see it. So how do you know? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I see transformation. I see the difference He's made in my life. You ain't been there when He moved, when nobody else could have moved. One of the things I'll say, how do I know He's real? Because He lives in my heart and I feel Him. I feel His presence when I need His presence. His direction, Tammy, when I need His direction. When I kneel in prayer and I'm in a spot and don't know which way to go, His Spirit can let me know which way to go. I may not physically see a manifestation of Him, but Mick, I can feel His presence. But it still requires faith. Every single thing we do requires faith. As Pat read in verse 3, it goes on, it says, by faith, to kind of piggyback off the brother's answer, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So ready for this? Faith is fundamental for creation. I don't know how things were created, Mick. So in other words, things were created by the Word of God. Bobby, things that wasn't there suddenly appeared because He spoke it. That's what that's saying. And I know this is the area that I've always had issue with evolutionists and stuff like that say the Big Bang, the Big Bang, the Big Bang. I remember even being a teenage kid when I first started hearing that Big Bang theory or whatever. I said, well, something had to be there to start the bang.
Anybody could sit there and say this, that, or another, but there's still, Vicki, got to be something there. Well, there was some atoms. Well, hold on. Who created the atoms? Who created the particles? Who created the chemicals? And there's no answer for that. They got no answer. And the Bible clearly says it was created by the Word of God. There was nothing there until He spoke it. That's what the Bible's saying. But we got to have faith to believe that. Amen? Because I wasn't there to see it. Was you there, Pat? Did you take notes on it? Angie, did you use your phone and video it? I didn't either. Kate, did you see it? You and Austin? Maybe when y'all was at Myrtle Beach, did you see it happen? Probably not, did you? So we got to have faith. Faith is absolutely foundational and necessary. And ready for this? That is what the adversary is going to attack you on every single day that you live in this world. Why? Because if he could pull your faith down, you become less effective in your walk with Christ. That's the attack. You've already been saved, but you know what? There's people that walk away from the Lord. They do. It's not always because they quit thinking God's real, but their faith gets weak. And next thing you know, one thing after another, and Brother Terry, they're back in the world. It's an attack on faith. When the adversary is trying to move against you and your family, he's trying to tear down your faith, get you to abandon the purposes and plans of God for you and your family. He can't stop them. You understand that? He can't stop your destiny. But he can get you to walk away from it. To move in disobedience, to not go where you're supposed to go, to move against faith. So verse 3 tells us where it starts. And then we begin with the examples as Pat was reading. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Now, this is the writer of Hebrews happening thousands and thousands of years later than Abel. So this tells me, you know what faith does? Faith breeds a testimony. Faith still speaks when you're no longer here. How many people here know somebody that's went on to be with the Lord? Raise your hand. Anybody? You know anybody that's in heaven right now? Lived a testimony, lived a godly life? Now, I want you to think back, some of you folks. Some of you like me, a lot of you like me, grew up in a time where their testimonies were pretty prevalent. Open testimony, stand up in church and give a testimony, whatever. In pick-pack parking lot, whatever. Seen it happen in the streets of Man. People get happy and bobby pins get a flying. Seen it happen, Bulls. Wish it still happened more. That said, that testimony that they gave years ago still speaks today, even though they're in the grave. You understand that? The way they lived, the life they lived, the testimony they left behind to those that knew them, we recall them in our minds as a dear saint of God who's gone on to be with the Lord. Their testimony, Vicki, outlives them because of the faith in Jesus that they had. Amen? Testimonies. So now Abel, though he's dead in the grave, thousands of years later, Teddy Dean Fry standing up here at Mallory Church of God saying, Abel was a good man through faith. Think about that. One of these days, Lord, if the Lord tarries his coming, every single one of us is going to go by the way of Abel. Every single person here is not immune from the death angel. You know that. You understand that, right? If you don't, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news today. You're going to die. Nothing I can do to stop it. Every single person in here, if the Lord tarries his coming, we're going to one day die. Woke up this morning, seeing where Senator Lindsey Graham passed away. 71 years old, died suddenly from what I understand. Probably a heart attack. I mean, that's usually what happens when it's a sudden situation. I do not know that, though. But my point being is every single person here has an appointed time. It is what it is. Brother Dewey here is blessed with a good age. Brother Dewey here is close to 90 years old now, and we thank God for that. But there's people that have passed away in their 40s. 41 years old. My grandfather died when he was 47. Had an uncle pass away when he was 32. So none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. How we walk with God today matters. The faith we have in God today matters. It's going to affect the testimony you leave to those that are come behind you. Faith breeds a testimony. Faith is foundational to life. And faith brings in, according to Abel, faith brings us into alignment with God's will. Think about that. Both Cain and Abel gave a sacrifice. They did. And theologians can debate. We can sit here and talk about why did God not accept Cain's sacrifice but accept Abel's. It's not in the Bible. But I think this right here gives a little bit of an insight, if you will, into why God did accept Cain's. Because Cain gave it in faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. He moved into obedience. He offered a sacrifice. They both obviously offered sacrifice, so somebody told them you had to sacrifice. Amen? I think that would have been their daddy, myself. And I think he was told by God himself. That being said, he shows up and one is accepted and one is not accepted. But why is one accepted? Because Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous by commending him and accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So if you want to be in alignment with God's will, there must be faith. Faith breeds obedience. Without obedience, there's not going to be much faith. Think about that. Oh, man, it got quiet. Obedience, that word obedience, always gets you, don't it? You need to do this. You ain't telling me what to do. Who are you telling me what to do? There's that old word, obedience. You tell me, You deal with you, I'll deal with me. Obedience to God's word. That's the key. Not obedience to mine. Okay? Obedience to God's word is required. Without obedience to God's word, you're not going to have much faith, folks. You know what you are? You're a rebellious son or daughter is what you are. If you're not willing to be obedient to God's word, you're not going to have much faith. You're just not going to. Cain, I believe, was a rebellious son, if you want to know the truth. Lack of faith will lead to those things. Goes on, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, therefore, he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So what's faith also give you? It brings you in alignment, brings you obedience. It's foundational in creation. Guess what this right here says? By faith, Enoch was raptured. How many people want to leave in the rapture? Oh, nobody? Oh, y'all want to stay? Let's just try this again. How many people want to go in the rapture? There you go. If you don't, let's stay back when church is over, and I'll tell you how bad it's going to be if you miss the boat. How did he go? How was he raptured? By faith. By faith. Without faith, you're not going to be raptured, plain and simple. How is that? Why is that? I don't know. Let me ask you a question, Pat. You're still a little spry. How high can you jump, Pat? Not very high. How high could you jump back in the day, Pat? Give me an example. Could you dunk a basketball? He could dunk a basketball. Basketball was on a 10-foot rim. So back in the day, Pat, who was about, 6 foot, could dunk a 10-foot rim. He got a wingspan of probably about 2 foot, roughly, in his arms. So that means he could jump roughly 2 feet in the air to dunk a basketball. That's impressive. It is impressive. That being said, you're going to have to jump higher than that to make the rapture. The truth. How's he going to get from point A to point B without faith? Does that make sense? Can I tell you the good thing about faith is faith is not having to know how it's going to happen, but believing it's going to happen. I remember when my mom passed away, and we were going to bury her. Matter of fact, we were driving Vicky to the graveyard, and we was leaving man, and I was following the hearse and all that in a procession. And I told my wife, and choked up a little bit when I remember telling her. I just remember it so vivid. I remember telling her, Mom is a perfect example of not having to understand everything in the Bible and still making it. She couldn't quote scripture like some people. She couldn't dive into theology like some people. But she knew Jesus died on a cross for her sins. And he rose from the grave. And that if she believed in that, that one day she'd be with him. Faith is not having to have all the answers, but knowing who to look for to the answers. She looked to Jesus, and because of that, I believe to this day she's with him right now. Faith is fundamental. It's impossible to please him without it. Enoch was raptured because he trusted God. He had faith in God. And if you want to be raptured one day, if you want to be pleasing to God, guess what? You better have the faith to believe he is who he says he is. And you know what? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because he said he's coming back. And guess what? He's not a liar. He's not. Jesus is coming back. And when the rapture happens, it's going to initiate a time period on this planet that you do not want to be here for. I'm telling you that right now. However you believe in prophecy, you do not want to be here for the tribulation. You can believe how you want to believe. It's all good. I'm not arguing with anybody. But I'm telling you right now, you do not want to be here after Jesus comes back. That being said, we better have the faith to believe, you know what? I better live like I'm supposed to live. And when he comes back, I'll let him take me with him. Enoch believed that. And for those that don't quite get what I'm saying, Enoch was the daddy or the father of a fellow named Methuselah. Methuselah, who lived 969 years. I've shared this before with other people, but he was 969. The oldest man that ever lived was Methuselah at 969 years old. His daddy being Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch, after Methuselah is born, walked with God. Not before he was born, after he was born. The meaning of Methuselah's name is after him it comes. After him what comes? In 969th year of Methuselah's life, guess what happened on this planet? The flood came. After Methuselah dies, the flood comes. After him it came, didn't it? I'm just saying, guys. He walked with God after he saw something and named his son something. And we know that he was a prophet because the Bible says in the book of Jude, he saw the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. He believed that God was who he was, and he walked with God, and he was not, for he was took. Amen? Can I tell you something right now? You and I have a choice in this world today. We can follow the Lord and walk with the Lord or not go with the Lord. But if you're not going with the Lord and walking with the Lord when he comes, you're not going to be took. Well, I didn't know I was going to stay here for a little bit. But it's important by faith to be ready when he comes back. The only way we'll be ready when he comes back is through faith. Faith that he's coming, first of all. Okay, the Bible even goes into that too, Vicki. There was people that lived their lives after he went away and they partied and they lived it up and everything like it was going to be okay. Bible says don't do that because he's coming back in an hour that you think not. It's important to walk in faith knowing that the Lord's coming back. It goes on and it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he is, and he exists, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So in other words, God rewards those that diligently seek him. Amen? If you're not seeking after God, how are you going to be rewarded by God? You got that question before? Sinners and God? God, hear my prayer. God, do this, God, do that, and this, that, and other. I'm not going to get into doctrines too much this morning, but I'm going to say this. What the Bible says is he's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. And to seek after God is to follow after God. That's what it is. Not just to say you are, but you got to put actions to those words. It's important today to not just say you are something, but to be something in action. Amen? Faith takes you from saying to doing. From a noun to a verb. From a word to an action word. That's faith. You put faith into action. And it goes on and says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. What's another thing faith can do? And I think some of you may have experienced this before. Faith can give you a warning. Faith can give you insight. Faith can let you know something's going to happen or going to go on, or you're in the middle of something that otherwise you shouldn't know. Bible says that Noah was moved in faith to build the ark. He moved in reverent fear. I know there's some people who say, I don't believe in scared religion. Well, you go talk to Noah about that. I'm just being honest with you. Noah was fearful of what he was showed was coming. And he moved with reverent fear and built the ark as he was told to do. So what's that mean? That means as soon as he found out about Terry, I believe it lit a fire under him. I believe that's what that says. He didn't get lazy and stand on his morals and just hang out and not do nothing. So what's that tell me? Faith without works is... Well, that kind of blows everything apart, saying we just get saved and come to church and don't do nothing. You got a job to do. You got faith to walk in. You got people to tell of the gospel. You've got to study the Word of God and be ready to give account for the things that are asked. Because now, here's the thing. If you're always preparing for the test, when the test shows up, you'll be ready. And here's what the test is. Test sometimes is you in pick-pack and meeting somebody. And then the talk happens and you're like, oh, I was reading the Bible the other day. It's talking about that. Guess what? You passed the test. That's what faith is. Faith is operating daily in something we should be doing. Always prepared. Bible says Noah moved in faith, reverently, in fear, and built the ark. And by it, he became an inheritor of something. Faith brings an inheritance, doesn't it? For those that don't understand what I'm saying, how many people here today with a raise of your hand, I'm speaking of whether it be a parent, an aunt, or anybody that is of the generation before you in your family, grandparent, aunt, uncle, mommy, daddy, whoever, cousin, older than you, whatever, somebody in your family, does anybody in here say somebody in your family that's older than you that at least served the Lord that was a Christian? Raise your hand. Looked at. Inheritance. Faith breeds an inheritance. You want your children to be Christians? Be a Christian. You want your children to follow God? Follow God yourself. You want your children to move in the power of the Holy Spirit? You operate in the power of the Holy Spirit yourself. Faith brings an inheritance. And those that do not walk in faith cannot be guaranteed an inheritance. You understand that. Raise up a child in the way he should go when he's older. Thank you. Don't do it, then you're at the mercy. Praying, hoping, grace. And grace is still sufficient. God still saves people. I'm not saying it's a lost cause by any means. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. You can be the first generation. That's the good thing about it. Jesus is the curse breaker, the chain breaker. You can be the first generation in your family. You understand that? That's the good news about it. But faith also breeds an inheritance. You want your grandchildren to know about Jesus, it's your responsibility to teach them about Jesus. It's just the way it is. Okay? Noah gains that by faith. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Faith brings obedience. Faith brings an inheritance. Abraham moves and he goes to a place he was told to go to, even though he didn't see it. Well, that's hard to do. But that you have to have faith in someone that's bigger than you to do it. There's still people today that do such a thing. They're missions. They'll go to a place that they don't know where they're going. They just feel led to go to Africa somewhere. They do it. God honors that, Terry. But it don't have to be that way. God could tell you to move in a direction. And you not know, and know, Lord, that's going to be, Lord, if I go down that path, that's going to be a bee's nest. You go. I'll make a way. Faith moves in obedience. Abraham was told to go somewhere that he didn't even know where he was going. Why? Because God told him to go. And he gets to the point of, as we know with Isaac, God tells him to take his son to a mountain. I'm going to show you. And you're going to have to sacrifice him. Imagine that, Terry. He didn't even tell him where he was going. You take the young lad and you take off. I'll show you when you get there. Well, I'll tell you what, Abraham was kind of sort of probably used to that by then. He'd done left his everything he knew, and now he was taking everything that God had gave him. His inheritance was Isaac, and he goes. But through faith, Abraham realized, you know what? The word said that my seed was going to come through Isaac. When I look around, I don't see Isaac with any children. So Abraham probably shakes his head, maybe scratches his head a little bit, and goes, you know what? I'm going to do it. Because you know what? If I lay down Isaac, then God must be going to raise him up again, because I don't see a seed out of him yet. That was faith. You understand that the Bible says that Abraham was the friend of God. It's what the Bible says, the friend of God. Even though Adam saw him face to face, physically, Adam's not called the friend of God. Adam didn't require no faith to know who God was. He saw him. Abraham required faith to see God. And he was one called a friend of God, not Adam. Think about that. That's how important faith is to God. Faith matters to God. If you want to get God's attention, do it through faith. I promise you, it gets heaven's attention. See? Amen. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Amen. How many people here can answer without a shout out? As he just said, it gets tough sometimes. We go through trials and tribulations. Amen. And the devil does attack your faith. It absolutely is 100% true. I don't want to make less of that because it's real. It's legit. But that's what he's trying to do, is attack the faith. He's trying to convince us to walk away from the promise. It's really because he can't take us. He can't pluck us out of God's hand. You understand that? That's why the prodigal son is so important. That's why I believe so strongly in the prodigal son. Because they left the father's hand. The devil didn't pluck them out of it. They chose to walk away. If you've ever been in that situation, you know what I'm saying. It doesn't happen overnight. Little by little by little, faith begins to wane. This happens, that happens. You separate yourself from God. You quit praying or going to church or reading your Bible or whatever it is. You start slowly, slowly, slowly sliding. That's why it's called backsliding. You slowly slide. I don't think it happens just like that myself. That being said, the father was waiting for him to come home. Pat, I envisioned he went to the back porch every evening looking across the fields. As the Bible said, he saw him across the fields and he ran out to see him, and he ran out to greet him. Bible goes on and says this about Abraham. He looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Verse 10, as Pat read. So what's that tell me? Guys, we're strangers in this land. This is not our eternal home. We're just passing through. As John Wayne said, pilgrims. That's what we are. We're pilgrims here, folks. Just passing through. I was thinking about time yesterday. Matter of fact, time was on my mind and just how I'm approaching 50, and you know, if you'd have told me back when I was 20 about 50, I said, Lord, that's old. Now suddenly 50 don't seem as old as it used to be, but time goes by, whether you want it to or not, it's going to go by. This is not our home. We're only passing through. When I think back of yesteryears and times go by, Terry, good memories, I think back and go, boy, I miss the good old days. But I miss the people that was in the good old days. They're the ones that made it the good old days. But they're going on now. If the Lord tarries, he's coming. We're all going to do the same thing. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Eternal in the heavens forever. We talked about it back there in VBS, the adult group back there. What's it going to be like in heaven? Man, I don't think we can even begin to fathom how good it's going to be. The peace, the security, the goodness of God, and poured out in abundance. It's going to be a good thing. But the only way any of us is going to get there is how? Faith. Through faith. I'm going to go ahead and shift a little bit here this morning. We're going to have prayer requests. We like to do prayer requests because I had a few people request prayer this week. God knows who they are. I'll go ahead and start it out. Pray for a few people that God knows who they are. They sent me texts or messages this week asking for prayer. I want you to pray specifically for my cousin. She had several severe strokes, and it didn't look like she was going to make it for a while. Anyway, she pulled out of it. I witnessed to her. And she had another